Victor and Lois are siblings who were both diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Lois lives and works in London, and Hector is a student living in Vienna. In their weekly podcast, Anxiety Calling, they'll be talking about different aspects of living with generalized anxiety disorder and how they get by in day-to-day life.
Welcome to episode 14 of Anxiety Calling. My name is Lois.
And I'm Hector. And today we're going to be talking about obsessions. For me, I think what I've experienced on myself, I could probably group into two types of obsessions that I have, I would say, suffered from. And they were connected to the panic disorder and later then the anxiety disorder. So the one would be sort of compulsive things that I felt like I had to do. So a couple of years ago when I was having a lot of panic attacks and stuff, I would compulsively wash my hands all the time, and not even necessarily because I was specifically scared of germs or dirt, which are things that I don't like, but I just really had to wash my hands all the time, and they were starting to hurt also because they were quite dry, obviously. Things like that I would do. Another thing would be to sort of, I would leave the house and I've walked like 50 meters or not even, I couldn't remember whether I'd locked the door properly or not. And I'd go back and check if I'd locked the door, turned off the heating. And sometimes I had to go back twice. It was a real nightmare, especially because I used to travel a lot for work. If I knew I was going to be gone for a couple of days, I'd be real, you know, I'd feel completely crazy because I'd be standing there. I'd lock my door and then sometimes I'd even just unlock it again, standing in front of it. And almost as distressing or even more distressing than what I was doing, or that I felt I had to, you know, relock the door, was then thinking about why I was doing this and why I couldn't stop doing that.
Yeah. It's sort of also just like the kind of, you know, getting angry with yourself, especially when it's sort of situations where you end up showing up late to something because you had to go all the way back home to check if you locked the door, you know?
Or turned off the heating or the gas or whatever.
Yeah, that's really, I remember once a similar scenario. I think at the time I was still living at home with our parents, and we have three dogs. For years we had, the front door was such that you had to like really pull it tightly to close it. So you always basically had to slam it because there was just something wrong with the way it had been constructed. But then, and it was like that for like 20 years or something. And then one day we had it fixed, and you could just basically very easily close the door. And that kind of threw me off a lot, because then it was hard for me to remember exactly whether I had closed the door properly or not. And the thing is, if it wasn't closed properly, it would swing open easily and the dogs could get out, basically. And sometimes, especially one of them had this tendency to sneak out and you wouldn't notice that he'd done it. And then, you know, you would suddenly realize that he was barking outside the fence. And I was the only person at home at the time, and I had to go to a rehearsal. And so I left the house. It was dark already because it was an evening rehearsal and it was winter. I left the house. I went all the way to the train station, which is about 10 minutes away from our home. And then suddenly at the train station, I was like, did I close the door properly? Because I couldn't remember it banging. And like, obviously I didn't have to bang it because you could just pull it shut easily now. And then I was like, you know, I was thinking like, well, why wouldn't it be? I've never ever left the house without closing the door, you know, and we didn't have to lock it. You just had to close it, you know? But then I was imagining like my dogs getting out and dying and getting run over or you know, wreaking havoc in the neighborhood and having to be put down. I don't know, like all these imaginary things that could happen if I left the door open. You know, I wasn't really worried about people robbing us. I was actually worried about our dogs getting out, you know, and getting lost or something. So then, of course, I couldn't just get on the train. But I waited until the train was coming into the station before I then panicked, turned around and walked all the way back. And the door was closed, obviously. And so I don't remember if I even made it to the rehearsal then, because it was like, by the time I had sorted everything out, I would have been so late that I think it was kind of wasn't worth it. I can't remember if I showed up like an hour later or if I just ended up saying that I, you know, wasn't going to show up. But it was really annoying, because then I was really angry with myself, because obviously, you know, rehearsals are important. I felt really bad for being late, but I was so worried about the dogs, and I had no reason to believe that I hadn't closed the door, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and these are, I had these a lot, and I feel that with me in phases where I'm more anxious or more prone to panic, I will have more of these kinds of obsessions as well, whether it be, I don't know, like I said, washing my hands compulsively or checking that the door is locked, tidying everything, so the whole flat, cleaning everything. That would be, yeah, one thing. And then also obsessive thoughts would, you know, come to mind, and you just couldn't block these thoughts sometimes. So that was the second type of obsession that I did have a lot. I don't have it so much anymore, but I used to have it, and it used to be very, very scary, actually. This was especially when I was in highly anxious or panic phases, would be obsessive thoughts or scary thoughts. Like, so for example, if a window is open, I would be afraid that this thought would come to my mind, and there was nothing I could do about it, that I would just lose control of my body and just walk out and just climb out of the window or walk out in front of a train which is coming, or things like that, or
just walk out into the road and be hit by a car,
or walk out and be hit by a car, or for some reason, and this obviously never happened, but this is quite common. I've read that it's quite common that people have also fear of have these obsessive thoughts in a fearful way of hurting someone else without being able to stop yourself. And this clearly never happens, but I think the reason I read about it, why this happens is because of all the anxiety and panic, your mind is already very, very tired. And so it's hard to not have thoughts and hard not to be upset by random thoughts, and you take that much too seriously.
Yeah. I think that is the problem, because I think I've heard that everyone has these thoughts of like, what if I drove this car off a bridge, or what if I just stabbed that person to death with this kitchen knife? I think everyone has those thoughts, and I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just, you know, your brain just checking to see if you're still sane, like to see if you act on it or not. I don't know why this happens, but apparently this happens to everyone, and almost everyone has these thoughts. At least that's what I've been told, and I don't know if people have just said that to me to make me feel better about myself, but I think
there is quite a lot of literature on the fact that
I've heard that this is a normal thing and that everyone has these thoughts. I think that the trouble with the anxiety disorder is that you start to, I feel like most people just brush it off and are like, huh, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. Whereas if you obsess about things all the time, you then start questioning, why did I have that thought? Like, you know, have you ever, like, because I used to have that a lot. I used to worry, like, what if I have the serial killer gene, you know? What if that's why I have thoughts like that, you know?
Yeah. And so that was for me like the second type of obsession, which would be like thought obsessions. And I would become obsessed with trying not to have a thought like that because it was just scary. And but obviously the more you try not to think about something, the more you think about it.
Yeah.
And, but what did help me, was actually reading about it in books about anxiety disorders and panic disorders, to find that it was one of the most common symptoms is actually to have these kind of thoughts and to be freaked out by them and worried by them. And in that moment, it could actually even cause a panic attack. So if I was, for example, I used to work in the trains, and another obsession I had, and I don't have this at all anymore, but in times when my nerves were like really worn thin, I would have the thought, okay, what would happen if I just suddenly got up and the train's going 200 kilometers an hour and I open the door because I have a key to open the door at any speed and just, you know, step out of the train. And obviously I would, you know, I would die and it would probably hurt.
Yeah, die in a really nasty way.
Really nasty way. And what was I going to say?
I feel like you've been lost in the trail of thought now.
Yeah, I was delving too deep.
You were back. You were right back there.
I was right back there.
Standing in the train.
Oh yeah, but then the thing is, now I know what I wanted to say. So just this thought coming, and then about that kind of thing, whatever the situation was, whatever the obsession was, that would sometimes be enough to trigger a panic attack.
Mm, yeah.
I remember being in a hotel in Lisbon once, and I had to stay the night, and it was a horrible hotel, and the room smelled like feet. And it was on the top floor, and the room was sort of had a slanted ceiling, so I couldn't even stand upright in the room. It was a terrible, terrible, but it was cheap and it was an emergency sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't sleep all night because I was obsessed with the thought that what if I, without wanting to, just got up and jumped out of the window? And it wasn't that I wanted to jump out of the window. I didn't want to. It was the last thing I wanted to do. But there was this irrational, obsessive thought in my mind that I might do it without wanting to do it.
Yeah. It's the jumping out of the windows thing is a big one for me because I'm actually not, to this day, I don't know if I'm afraid of heights or if I'm just afraid of the thoughts that I have on buildings that are high. You know?
Because I know that. I have the exact same thing.
Yeah. I don't know if it is a fear, because a fear of heights is basically a fear of falling, right? So obviously being afraid of falling down stuff is, I think... To me, it seems like a rational fear, I have to say. But the thing is, I don't know where I didn't have that for a long time. I didn't really have that until I would say my 20s, which is when the anxiety disorder got so bad that I started having panic attacks. And not until then did I start getting freaked out by heights.
Mm.
And so I don't really know if it is the fear of my mind doing its thing, and or the fear of the thoughts that I have when I'm on high buildings or on roller coasters, which I avoid because of those thoughts, or near windows. I don't know if it's that or if I am actually afraid of heights. I don't know if I'm afraid of myself or if I'm afraid of heights. It's sort of hard to tell.
No, I have the same feeling. It is actually, for me, just as, like you said, just as scary, being somewhere high up is the thought of the thoughts that then come of what if I accidentally fall down or intentionally jump down, not because I want to, but because somehow my body just takes over from my mind.
Exactly. Or what if I, because I get quite dizzy as well, because I'm kind of then worry. I feel quite dizzy when I look down.
Mm.
And then I'm like, well, what if I lose my balance and just like, whoop.
Mm.
You know,
vertigo it's called, I think.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with standing on like a box, but I don't like, also don't like staircases without banisters.
Difficult. With the ladder, it already starts getting difficult.
Yeah. That's the thing. I can't get to the top of a ladder. Do you remember that thing we had to do at school? Did you ever do that? With the boxes where you had to stack the boxes on top of each other. You had to stack one box on top of each other and climb up and climb up and climb up until you could touch the ceiling.
And I always managed to skive out of that.
I actually managed to do it once, and like, because I was so scared, but then when I did make it, I mean, we had a harness on and everything, but then when I made it, I was so proud of myself, and that was great. Actually, I've managed to overcome it. That's why I'm not sure if I do have actual real fear of heights, because I know that people with a fear of heights can overcome things, you know, but sometimes they need therapy for that kind of thing.
Mm.
And like, there have been times where I've been able to overcome the fear that I have. Like when I had a performance at the Opera House in Munich when I was an extra there, and we did a really long opera by Wagner. And we were doing this one was Siegfried. And basically there was this scene where he slays a dragon. And the dragon was basically this big construction which had a bunch of us harnessed into it. So it was like this giant construction that would like fly above the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all strapped into this big, so it was like a gate of sorts, which had like big eyeballs in it and like a mouth. So it looked like a dragon, and we were all painted red. And we had to do like thing, you know, we had to like do movements in there, and it kind of looked like the whole dragon was alive. It was really actually really cool. Visually, it was a really cool thing. And basically we were sort of flying over the stage in this contraption, and we were harnessed in, but it wasn't like, if the thing is, like, that's all well and good, like I might not fall out of the contraption, but what if one of the wires breaks from the entire thing, and then we all just crash to our deaths, you know? And I mean, you know, having done a lot of performances there and seen a lot of the technical difficulties that have happened at that opera house, it was a concern.
It wasn't inspiring confidence in you.
No, not at all. And every time I was strapped into that thing, and we were also like, we were just in underwear. So we were like in underwear, completely painted red. We didn't have anything to like cushion our fall, really. Like not even like clothing that would cushion our fall. It would have been very painful if we had even survived. And we did fly quite high, and then it kind of tilted us forwards. And you were like, and you know, you were just sort of like hanging out of this, sort of, it was, I don't even know how to explain what it was. It was like a gate of sorts. It was, and you were kind of just hanging on by your harness, and the entire contraption was hanging on by a wire, you know, rope. But it was very old, you know, this production had been going on for years and years and years. So I was a bit concerned every time, but I really, really wanted to do it. So I did actually manage to, every time I was very scared, but I did manage to do it without having a panic attack or like freaking out and not doing it last minute.
I mean, the weird thing for me, or maybe it's not that weird, but for example, our university is quite a high building. And so on the fifth floor, there's not like an inside balcony system. And mm-hmm. on the fifth floor, there's only glass and okay. you can't actually get out. And that doesn't bother me at all. It's the highest point, but I just can't, there's no way I could break through this glass pane. But on the fourth floor, I could just step over the balcony, and that really freaks me out.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Being there, but if it was all glass and I couldn't get out,
yeah,
it would be fine. I'd feel safe. But it's because I could theoretically climb over that it really bothers me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And also another thing I absolutely hate, I hate it when people sit on the edge of balconies.
Oh God, I can't bear that.
Please don't do that. Like even in a film, even if someone's doing it in a film, I'm sitting there and I'm feeling really anxious just watching them sit on the edge of the balcony. I can't stand it. I really hate it. And or at the edge of like, in London, there are parts along the Thames where there are these like walls, as it were, and you can kind of sit there. But if you fell, you would fall into the Thames, right?
I'm sure people do fall into the Thames.
All the time, for sure. I can't just sit on one of those and not worry. I'm too scared. It was like, you remember that little wall outside our school?
Yeah.
I got quite anxious sitting on there, and I used to sit on there all the time for a smoke, but part of me was always very scared I would fall off, and I have fallen off before, but I didn't hurt myself because it was quite low.
High, was it?
No, it wasn't at all high, Hector, but a part of me was always worried about falling.
40 high?
It wasn't high at all, and I've fallen off backwards from it, and like behind you there was like, it was like soft ground, so even if you fell off it backwards you didn't really hurt yourself. And I did fall off it quite a few times, but I did get a little anxious as well just sitting there. I just don't like balancing on things at all. But yeah, balconies, that is a big one for me. I really don't like it when people sit on one of those things, you know, or sit on a wall where they could fall down quite far. Like, I mean, because again, another fear that I then have is, what if I just push them? What if I just suddenly push them? Because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But what if I did, just because I suddenly lose my mind and, you know, and push them?
No, I think, yeah, like you said before, these thoughts do sometimes come automatically, and depending how anxious you are, makes it more upsetting. and makes it then more of an obsession because you try to avoid these thoughts.
Because
I think I remember yesterday I was going for a walk in Vienna, and there's this canal there, and I was walking, and it's quite high because the canal is basically empty. It's just a sort of small trickle of water going down the middle for some reason. Mm-hmm. But it is high enough to probably really hurt yourself. And I was walking along there, and the thought did cross my mind, you know, what if I just jumped down? But it didn't bother me because yesterday I was feeling quite calm and confident, I think.
That's good.
And I think these thoughts do come to many people, but someone who's already feeling very anxious and nervous, it can be much, much more frightening. And that's the difficulty. It's difficulty dealing with probably quite common normal thoughts when your mind is already worn down and upset.
And also when you're constantly questioning your sanity as it is, and then you start having these weird thoughts, and you're like, what is wrong with me? Why do I think these things?
Yeah, I think, but the thing is, you think about every thought too much.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
And then that makes it, that's why for me, I define it as an obsession then. Because then I obsess about these thoughts as well.
And another thing that I haven't been able to shake actually for a long time. So I, as a teenager, I watched and read Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read it first. Then I did watch I watched the first film. I didn't really get into the films, but I did read the books, right? And one of the main characters, Edward Cullen, whatever his name is, he can read people's minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can read people's thoughts all the time. And I was so worried that maybe what if people can hear your thoughts? And then I thought, you know, fuck, I have these crazy thoughts all the time. What if I'm sitting there in the train having one of these weird thoughts where you just imagine that you punch the person opposite you in the face out of nowhere? You know, not because you want to, not because they're making you aggressive, just simply because you're scared of yourself doing something bad. What if they can actually read my mind and know that I'm thinking this, you know?
Yeah, I had that. When I was a child, I had that. I had that more. Another one I just thought of was sometimes when I was sitting in the office, I used to have an office job, and I'd be sitting there, the room would be about 40, 50 people would be in the room, you know, something you can hardly imagine nowadays. But they'd be sitting there tapping at the computers, and, you know, everything, suddenly all this tapping got really loud, and someone next to you was eating something disgusting, was really munching it. And then I'd become afraid that what if I just lost it and just stood up and started screaming and tore off all my clothes, and I'd probably be cool if I did do it, but and it'd probably be more fun than
but the consequences would wind up, you know, they'd send you to a hospital or something,
probably, and you wouldn't come out for a while.
Yes.
But that was also, sometimes I just got so freaked out by not being able to show if I could not do it, I just have to get up and go for a walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or to the bathroom or whatever, go and get a coffee, because that was another sort of obsessive thought. I thought, what if I just, you know, stand up and start shouting, because, you know, it's so weird here in this office.
I used to have that a lot. Sometimes in performances, like if I was watching a play that I wasn't enjoying.
Oh, you got in the theater as well, yeah.
Yeah, I used to imagine, like, what if I accidentally stood up and started screaming at the people?
Yeah, no, I did that.
But also, I did the other way around. I would be like on stage and then suddenly worry that someone in the audience would suddenly stand up and start screaming at me.
Mm. I mean, I think, yeah, that was also an obsessive thought that I had. So I think generally being in a public place.
Yeah.
Would be, and doing something unorthodox or, I don't know, unusual or unsettling or just embarrassing, I would be obsessed about as well. Embarrassing by accident or on purpose or uncontrollably. And it never happened. I mean, to anyone who's might be listening and has these thoughts, it actually never happened to me.
No, it's never happened to me too. I've never stood up and started screaming or suddenly torn off all my clothes. I remember, because I would just get up and walk it off. But I remember actually I was, in the office, obviously that was a classic because it was sort of every day and it was just so monotonous. And I guess, oh God, sorry, I was just thinking about being in the office. Like, I haven't been in the office for almost a year now, but there was one of my colleagues was would eat like this big box of raw vegetables at lunchtime, and was the noise was it was so annoying. It was and also he would always eat peppers, and as we've discussed before, have an intolerance to peppers, and even the smell kind of makes me feel a bit queasy. So every lunchtime he was sitting there crunching on his friggin' carrots.
I had a colleague who did that too. He would eat nectarines or peaches that weren't.
Oh yes. Oh, that was even worse when he would eat something sloppy and he'd be like,
and it was, really
it was disgusting.
But he sometimes did others. He was a bit unsettling. So the crunching food thing did. I think eating generally, sounds of people eating can be quite upsetting for me. But he did this other thing. He would get angry with his computer, and he did something that I was afraid that I might do too. He would sometimes just, when he got annoyed with his computer, and I mean it was actually probably maybe a healthy way of dealing with it, but he'd just get up and he'd shout at his computer and he'd say, "You cunt!"
My God.
In German. And
wow.
And I sort of went, okay. And he was I think, you know, it just came naturally to him, and he did things probably that other people were more afraid of doing, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same with my colleague actually. He was just I don't know what his deal was exactly, but he was one of those people that didn't just, you know, adhere to normal politeness. So like if someone, we had a so-called hot desk or whatever, we were hot desking it, whatever it's called. Basically, no one has a specific assigned desk. You sit wherever, you know, there's an area where you sit.
But there's always people who sit at the same desk anyway.
And everyone does that. And then if you're the new person who shows up, you kind of just have to take whatever you can get. And at first I was sitting opposite this person, which wasn't such a big deal. But then they decided to do a weird switcheroo so that, you know, because these two colleagues of mine, they wanted to sit next to each other. So I was sitting next to one of them, and then the other one got my seat, and then I had to go and sit next to the one who crunches the vegetables. And one time I had to sit in his spot, I think, for some reason. Oh, I can't remember what, and he was livid and he wouldn't shut up about it. Like one time I sat in his spot, one single time, because I thought he wasn't coming in because he wasn't there when I arrived and he was always early. So I figured, well, he's probably not coming in, you know, because we were allowed to work from home, you know, at least once a week. So I was like, okay, well, fine, I'll take his seat. He went and sat somewhere else, but he was visibly like physically uncomfortable with it. And then he basically decided he didn't like me because of this. And then literally, I then heard from the other colleagues that every time my name came up, he would talk about the fact that I one time sat in his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And like he would like challenge you like head on. Anything you did that annoyed him, he would just like say it automatically. And what was hard for me was I had too much sort of politeness, I guess, or I was not able to just confront him and tell him that his incessant vegetable crunching drove me insane. But he was perfectly able to tell if I did anything that annoyed me, he would just confront me straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, God. He was so grumpy. I mean, he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't a bad guy. I think he was just a bit different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it must be quite liberating, actually, to sort of...
Well, I often had this thought that to be less adjusted can be, liberating and relaxing in a way. Because keeping a grip on yourself all the time... I mean, I'm not, you know, advocating violence of any kind, but...
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But being more able to... Well,
I less, guess express yourself.
Yeah, but also, less obsessed with just not being weird or suspicious or different. I think
that's the thing. I think I'm so worried all the time about people noticing that there's something different about me.
Yeah,
because there is, I mean, at the end of the day there is, but I'm so worried about people kind of catching on to that. And a big fear of mine was So when I was applying for jobs, like you, there is the opportunity to say if whether you are disabled or not. And one of the things that does count as a disability is a mental illness. And I didn't take that as like, yeah, I have a mental illness. I guess because like, I didn't really think it was, you don't have to, like, it's not, you don't have to say it. Like you can choose not to, if you want to. And I always chose not to share that information with them because I was worried that it would make it harder for me to get a job, I suppose. Because it was kind of like, the question is always like, do we have to accommodate your disability? And I was very concerned that if, you know, I say, well, I have an anxiety disorder, it makes it sometimes hard for me to function in an office environment. Why on earth would they hire me? You know?
Mm.
So I guess there was a kind of a fear of mine of like, well, if I always chose not to disclose that to them when I was interviewing, and I got the job. And then there was this fear of what if they find out? And what if then that's a problem that I didn't disclose it to them, you know? Even though legally there was no reason for me to, like, I don't have to disclose anything except whether I have a criminal record or not. Like, that is something you're supposed to tell them. But with regards to the anxiety disorder, I don't have to tell them, but it was something I did worry about, was like, well, what if they realize, you know? And when I wasn't coping very well, they did realize, you know, they did, you know, sort of notice when I was having a hard time at work.
Well, I mean, you don't have to disclose that anywhere. But yeah, that worry is a good word actually in context of obsession, because I think something I can sometimes do is just obsess about something specific, whether it's something physically, which I believe is wrong with me, or a situation with a person, a conflict. Or even things that happened years and years ago will suddenly pop into my mind and I will obsessively think about the situation for a while and really unsettle me.
I hate that so much.
And whether it's something where I said something stupid or embarrassing or potentially which could be interpreted in a in a different way, or where I was unkind to someone by accident.
Yes. Oh God, I hate those ones. Or somebody misunderstood you and thought you were saying something terrible and you weren't saying that, you just expressed yourself badly.
Things like that. So, I mean, I can obsess about that kind of stuff. And that is really exhausting if you can't pull your mind away from things. And yeah, I mean, I think obviously generalized anxiety disorder, worrying is one of the major symptoms and problems.
But it's like two things. It's like obsessive thinking. Obsessive, you know, the obsession can take place entirely in your mind, but there is also obsessive behavior. So it can also, you know,
I mean, and there are crossovers. I mean, we should probably mention this quickly, that there are crossovers to obsessive compulsive disorder, which I don't have.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I think,
and people, so I don't really have enough experience to talk about that. But maybe someday we can ask someone else to talk about that here.
Yeah. But that's something I feel like people, that's something that people kind of do a lot, is just like I've been like accused, I guess, of having OCD a lot. Or people will also sort of say like, oh, I have such OCD. And I think that like, it's, you can't really say that, like obsessive behaviors are normal, but I think obsessive compulsive disorder is, it's on a level that, you know, like you can't really compare, like, oh, you know, things to be clean, or I like things to be in a straight line. You can't really compare that to obsessive compulsive disorder because it is so much stronger and so much more, it impacts your life way more than that. Like, I think that, because people do kind of throw it around a lot nowadays in a kind of careless manner, which I would like,
it's a little bit respectless to people who do have a strong case of OCD, because some people do really suffer under the condition, because it does
it can impact
make
your
it
life
hard. It can impact their life, make it hard for them to function normally. I mean, like what you said before, I mean, there are fringe connections, I think, to anxiety, because, like, for example, you come too late to something because you had to check whether your door is locked.
Or, you know, you start damaging your skin or whatever because you were washing your hands too much, you know.
Yeah.
these are things that are like there are some crossovers, but it is a different thing. And like I said, when we were talking last time about eating disorders, like there is also like with orthorexia, there's like a slight crossover with obsessive compulsive disorder, which means that some therapy that would apply to OCD can be useful to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as actually having it. Like I definitely don't have obsessive compulsive disorder, but I do have some very obsessive behaviors.
Yeah, me too.
Disclaimer, in a world where mental illness is a hot topic, two siblings who are not mental health professionals are trying to raise awareness and help end the stigma of mental illness with a podcast. Are they heroes? Maybe. We may never know. But what we do know is that they are not mental health professionals, and any advice and information given in this podcast is based on their personal experiences and is meant to raise awareness and help end the stigma of mental illness. Did we mention they are not mental health professionals? Thank you for listening. This message was brought to you by the good of humanity, aka Jib, the disclaimer dude, aka Jared Rowland. Wait, bang.
Yeah, the thoughts, the obsessive thoughts about, or obsessively thinking about something can be very exhausting. Really sort of, I have had this at times when, I mean, even I would obsess about the disorder itself.
Mm.
So it's like picking it apart and really trying to find the solution or the cause, or and just really reading lots and lots of different books on psychology and philosophy and everything to try and find a solution to what I felt was a problem. And that is, yeah, probably one of the most exhausting parts, I think, about anxiety disorders and panic disorders is obsessive thoughts that are hard to control. And for me, that was the case.
One thing I'm, you know, often when things are kind of impacting me, I try to like find ways of sort of solutions of how to deal with something. So we briefly touched on the subject of like tidying and cleaning.
Mm.
And I think that something that something I've heard over and over again from people who have GAD or also people who struggle with depression is that sometimes they feel like they have to clean everything, have to tidy everything, otherwise their life isn't in order. And like a way of sort of that somehow tidying up your flat or something kind of gives you this feeling that you are in control again, or that somehow your life isn't a complete shambles, because it's sort of like if your surroundings are tidy, then somehow it feels like your brain is more organized. This is something I've heard people say so many times, and it's absolutely true. And also another aspect of this for me has always been that if I have something that I need to do that's actually pressing and important, I will procrastinate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And so a very good way of procrastinating is to clean your entire house. So this was becoming a massive problem for me, because because I also have a tendency to get quite chaotic, but then that's also bad, and I like so bad for my mind, and I like things to be very tidy, but sometimes things get chaotic and then I get very upset by the chaos, and then I feel overwhelmed by the chaos, and then I can't seem to sort of sort it out. And then if I need to do something, I procrastinate and clean the flat instead. So my solution to this problem, which I came up with almost a year ago, it's weird to me that it took me that long to come up with that. But what I've ended up doing now is that every week, without fail, and it's usually on Sundays because that's when I have the time, I make sure, so now me, because I'm living with my partner, both of us do this, we just do a deep clean of the entire flat and just tidy the entire flat and clean it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it happens every Sunday is great, because that means there's no point if in the middle of the week I have like something that needs doing, I can't decide to clean the whole flat, because that would mean that'd be madness. I've got to like clean the flat on the Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but that also means that every week on Monday, basically you start off with the flat being completely clean and tidy and everything in order, meaning you only ever, the place can never get that dirty or that messy, because every week it's all tidied and cleaned again. So in that 1 week, you know, we can't really do that much damage, I suppose. And so that, for me, although when I sometimes tell people this, they're like, oh, you sound like, you know, I don't know, Monica from Friends, who like is really obsessive about cleaning, or you sound like you have OCD. It's, I don't think it is. I think cleaning your flat once a week is, I think, is perfectly reasonable. But it does give me this insane sense of peace, I think. Also because even if I get nothing done all week, even if I've had really, really bad depressive week where I barely get out of bed, if I clean the flat on Sunday, I feel like I've accomplished something.
Mm.
And that feeling, even though it's something small, that feeling of accomplishment is really good for your mental health. So that's something that has been like a coping mechanism that I've only been doing for a year now, but I absolutely love it because it means I can't procrastinate when I'm supposed to be doing something important because I know that I have a day when I clean. The place never gets too out of hand. Every week, the week starts off with a clean flat, and at least once a week, I have a feeling of accomplishing something, you know?
Yeah, that sounds quite good. Actually, maybe I should do that too. And with me, it's more like, I mean, I used to be, I'm not sure if you remember, but when I used to be a very messy, chaotic person.
We all were. It's so weird. All of us, while we were lived with our parents, were like the most chaotic people.
But I was generally chaotic. I was unreliable. I was always late. I was constantly oversleeping, missing things. I was terribly messy. I was always hygienic and always clean.
Yeah, same. I was never dirty, but I was very chaotic.
And that really shifted when I developed my anxiety disorder, and I suddenly became, and now it's even, it gets to the point. I mean, I know I do have this thing as well that I feel like, okay, I feel great after I've cleaned the whole flat, and it's always pretty tidy, but some, there's like this slight difference if you've, you know, really cleaned the floors,
yeah,
water and everything. But what I also do have noticed is that it's also not only transitioned from like the physical world. I have a habit of tidying up my digital. So what's going on my desktop?
Yes,
I tidy and file everything very, very carefully and accurately. So it's always clean. So I also feel it's transitioned into the digital world, but I feel more relaxed if I've cleaned up my desktop.
Yeah.
And
same with my phone. Everything has to be in their little folders. And I have like the different, you know, you have screens, you could swipe to the next screen. It's all organized with what apps go with what apps.
Yeah. No, same. And also I also delete old messages I don't need. And I have all my emails I file away into different places. So most of them, I delete because I don't need them, but I have a filing system for my emails.
Filing system
as well.
For your emails? Oh my God, I should get into that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, I have, so with mine, you can just create files and then I name them. So university, work, and then under
work. Do they automatically go in there? Or like,
No. I'm not sure if, maybe you can do that. But no, but they'll come into my inbox and then I read them. And then from my inbox, I tidy them away into the places.
Wow, that's really clever. I've got billions and billions. I've got a backlog of billions of friggin' emails.
Well, I've been doing it for a couple of years. So.
Maybe I should start now so that for the next couple of years, it's a bit more tidy in there. Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. I know exactly what you mean. I'm exactly the same. Like there's nothing better than like emptying out your bin after throwing away a bunch of things that, you know, downloads and whatever that you don't need, filing away all your stuff into little files.
Yeah.
Because you can find everything. There's nothing worse than you go onto a desktop and there's a billion screenshots on there.
Yeah.
I have a little thing for screenshots now.
Yeah. But I do remember, so I think 2 years ago, the end of 2000 and must have been the end of 2019. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just before COVID hit. For university, my project was, I made an animation film.
Mm-hmm.
And because I decided to do it at home because I had only 3 weeks to animate 30 minutes of film. So I had to draw every picture basically. And so what happened then was partly because I had no time, but also because I had this huge table with the camera and so you have like a table where you fix the paper on. So when you photograph the animation, it's always the same position. So it doesn't jog in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about a couple of days, my whole room, the floor was covered in paper and bits of charcoal because I was drawing with charcoal. And then there was cups and empty beer bottles. And I was so deeply immersed in making this animation in so little time that I really, you know, lost that habit. And it kind of felt good in a way to sort of let go of that for a while. But it did also feel really nice to clean out everything when I'd finished making the film.
Yeah.
But it was quite liberating in a way to get really deep into something else and not be distracted by sort of the need for control.
Yeah.
Because I was really I was just desperately trying to finish this film. So this control was, you know, was a dream, you know.
Yeah. I know what you mean. And that's the thing. That's another thing. If I'm very, very busy, then, you know, then things kind of let, you know, the standards of tidiness go. But that's again why I definitely recommend having like a designated day. It doesn't have to be every week if you think that's too much, but like every 2 weeks or at least once a month where you do like a deep clean of your whole flat, you know. Like one thing that I was obsessed about, I didn't know how often you're supposed to change your bedding. And so I actually went on Google to try and figure out like how often are I supposed to be doing that, because I just wasn't sure. And
once a week.
Yeah, that's what Google said too. And I was like, oh, thank you, because like that seems reasonable to me, once a week. So that's also like, now I know every week, every Sunday, the bedding gets changed, the towels are all washed and dried. That reminds me, I really have to wash some bedding today, because if I'm going to change it tomorrow, then I need to wash it today. Okay, well, mental note taken, I will do that. That's something that it's sort of, it started off as a coping mechanism, also to give me something to do during lockdown, because we were also on furlough for a while, we didn't have anything to do. And so like once I actually looked forward to Sunday every week, because it's like, well, at least we have something to do on Sunday, you know, just clean the flat. But I have to say that I really do, it's really helped me, because it's sort of like, well, no excuses, like just every Sunday, it doesn't take that long. Both of us just do, you know, our bit and clean the flat and vacuum it and everything and change the bedding and everything. And it's then just really nice because the whole flat's all clean. Monday starts with a, you know, everything organized. And
I'll try doing that.
Yeah, I've really
Sundays,
noticed.
Sundays, I'm usually desperately editing the podcast to finish on time.
So. It doesn't really leave you much time to clean. No. But I have got quite obsessive about like how clean, like I'm very obsessive about the bathroom, like how, you know, I love like all of the different types of, you know, chemicals to make sure everything's like as sanitary as it could possibly be.
Mm.
So yeah, that's something that's, again, some people have said this sounds OCD, but it isn't, it really isn't. Like you can't compare that, like from what I've heard about from people who do have obsessive compulsive disorder, it is very different. But that is something that I've noticed. I would definitely recommend it to anyone who feels like they, you know, feel like they feel better when there's less chaos around them and feel like they tend to tidy their sock drawer when they're procrastinating. Like if you have just a designated day that's for that kind of stuff, it does sort of stop you from doing it when you're supposed to be doing more important things.
Yeah, maybe I should try that, because I definitely do that as well when I'm supposed to be writing job applications.
Exactly.
Suddenly decide to reorganize my kitchen.
Yeah.
Or
I remember when you were staying with me, you kept trying to reorganize my kitchen.
Did I?
Yeah.
I was in a very anxious phase then, actually.
Yeah, you were staying. I mean, the thing is, when you came to stay with us, we barely had any. We were lucky to have a sofa at the time. We didn't even have a television. We'd only moved in a couple of months ago. We didn't have anything, and you were like obsessively trying to improve my flat.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but I was at the time. I was anxious as fuck.
You would be saying something. You're not really into interior design, are you? And I was like, what are you talking about?
That was a joke.
We don't have any furniture. Like, I would love to, but we don't have any money. I think I was still, was I working in the, no, I think I was working. I'd already got started my job in the office then. I just finished working in the pub when you came to visit. I just started working in the
Oh yeah, that was actually the project that I'd started, which then ended yes. in the animation.
Yes, yeah. Good point. Yes, of course.
Yeah, that was a very anxious time for me, not because I was a nun, just generally. But yeah, I think maybe that might have been one of your coping mechanisms was trying to
optimize my flat. We wound up smashing a light because of your incessant trying to optimize my flat.
What?
Do you remember? We were trying to, you got these light bulbs that didn't fit the sockets, and then we were trying to pull the light bulb out of the light thing, and then it smashed in your hand, and it had like mercury in it or something like that.
Yeah, and then I was convinced that I had mercury poisoning.
I've been convinced since then that both of us have mercury poisoning, because then it was like all over the floor, and we had to like, oh, it was terrible.
I think you die quite quickly of mercury poisoning. That was more than a year ago, so I think
we're probably fine. Also, I don't think there's that much mercury in there, and we did take precautions to contain it. They shouldn't make them that smashable, though. You really shouldn't be able to crush one of those light bulbs in your hand if it's got mercury in it.
I just don't know my strength.
Do you ever sometimes, this is a funny thought that I sometimes have, whenever I accidentally break something that shouldn't really have broken that easily, I wonder if, like, I'm Spider-Man.
Well, I wish I was.
Because, like, there's that scene in the one with, Tobey Maguire? Is that his name?
Well, he was the first one.
When he, he's been bitten by the spider, then he sleeps, then he wakes up and he's all jacked. And then like he accidentally breaks things because he's so strong and he doesn't realize it. And then I think every time that happens, like, whoa, what if I'm Spider-Man now? But I never am.
With great stupidity comes... Wait. That's not how it goes.
It's not anyway, how it goes.
Anyway, I think that about sums it up for this week. What are we going to talk about next week?
Oh, balls, we didn't talk about this, did we? I was thinking one suggestion from one of our listeners, which I am actually very keen on, is anxiety and like worrying about legal consequences or worrying about getting in trouble with
the law. We'll go with that.
And I think that's a really, really great topic that I would love to talk about. So I think
especially in having grown up in, or especially being in Germany or Austria, which has a very complicated legal system.
Yeah, there are lots of rules.
We can do that. I think it's good.
So that's one I've actually been really, ever since it was suggested by one of our listeners, I have been very, very intrigued. So I think that's the one we should go for.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, thanks anyway for suggesting it, dear listener.
Thank you.
And as always, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and many more. Also, give us a good review if you liked the show.
Yeah.
And if you
feel free to suggest subject any topics to us. Yes. We use the best place to reach us is usually in our DMs on Instagram, and that's where a lot of people do reach out to us. Or if you have any stories of your own obsessions you'd like to share in our comment section or in our DMs, always feel free to head over there.
Yeah, we like being in contact with you.
Yeah.
And if you think anyone else might like a podcast, then feel free to share with them. And tune in next week for...
We're going to have to figure out how to phrase it. Legal... Anxiety about legal consequences.
Law.
Anxiety. Anxiety about the law.
I'm constantly afraid of going to prison.
Constantly afraid of the law. I'm always scared of doing something wrong.
But we'll see you, hear you, whatever, next
week. And you'll hear us.